This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. City Hall in San Francisco usually handles about 30 marriages a day. Since last Thursday, thousands of gay and lesbian couples have waited on long lines for a license and a wedding. What may be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is thanks to the city's new mayor, Gavin Newsom. His order appears to defy California law and will be challenged as soon as state courts open tomorrow morning. Last week, the Massachusetts state legislature held 2 days of emotional debate on this issue, and proposals for a constitutional amendment may soon be discussed in Congress. We've heard a great deal from liberals and conservatives today. We want to focus on opinion for and against gay marriage in the gay community. Later in the program, baseball's biggest blockbuster since the sale of Babe Ruth. But first, a discussion among gays about same-sex marriage. If you're gay or lesbian, we especially want to hear from you today. Do you think homosexuals should have the right to marry? What about civil union? And does the option of marriage redefine gay identity? Our phone number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Jonathan Katz. He's executive coordinator of the Larry Kramer Initiative for Lesbian and Gay Studies at Yale University. He's with us from Yale Studios in New Haven, Connecticut. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
As a gay historian, how does the option of marriage fit into other battles, civil rights battles, if you want to put it that way, fought by the gay community?
Well, I think this is the latest golden apple in the culture wars. It's a remarkably dense intersection of family, of religion, of sexuality, all the issues that have been hot-button issues in the culture wars since the culture wars began in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's positioned to be perhaps the defining issue, at least, of the next several years.
How did it get that way? I mean, it's not exactly on a scale, at least within the gay community, as the Stonewall riots in New York all those years ago. There was no great uprising demanding this. How did it become such an important issue?
Well, in some strange way, I don't think it was necessarily an issue that was even promoted powerfully within the lesbian and gay community. It became, in part, such an issue by virtue of our opponents. But I also think that the legal effects of the Lawrence decision helped to spur this along. I mean, after all, when it is no longer the case that you can discriminate legally against same-sex love, mm-hmm. then what are the grounds for the state's lack of recognition of same-sex partnership?
The Lawrence decision, of course, the case in Texas that went to the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. And so a lot of people are saying, well, you know, why can't we get married? And, there, you know, we've been grading under, the inequity of the lack of marriage in terms of specifically what it results in, its goodies, the fact that, for example, we do not have the opportunity to win immigration rights for our partners. Mm-hmm. These are real social effects. Every day, many, many lesbian and gay couples in the United States are forcibly separated by the Immigration and Naturalization Service, many of whom have been together for years and years because of changing visa status. Yet, at the same time, an individual in popular entertainment can, on a whim, get married in Las Vegas and then annul it a few hours later.
With Britney Spears in that particular case,
of course.
I think, is the one you're talking to. But the opinion within the gay community is, it's hardly unified.
I think that's true. I mean, in many ways, marriage has stood for precisely the kind of conventional orthodox family arrangements which, for years, lesbian and gay identity has been premised against. And I think that when we see the movement towards marriage in the community today, that movement is primarily towards the legal benefits of marriage, not towards a sort of participation in its broader sort of cultural meanings. In fact, on the contrary, it's my firm belief that the advent of gay marriage will fundamentally reinvigorate and redefine what is increasingly an outmoded and dying institution.
Marriage itself is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And you are, I take it, for it.
I am for it. I'm for it in all the complex ways that I think a lot of us are for it, which is to say that I am worried about it. I'm worried that it will, for example, create a kind of class of good gays and bad gays, good gays being, of course, those who do get married, bad gays, those who refuse it. But I'm equally cognizant of the fact that marriage is such a central prize for our movement now, not only because our enemies froth at the mouth at the prospect, but also much more powerfully because it carries real social benefits. It's part of the long road to equality.
Is it possible to give us a sketch of who within the gay community or which groups within the gay community are in favor of gay marriage and those who are opposed to it?
Well, I don't think it breaks down into any kind of easy taxonomies. I mean, I think that what one finds actually is opposition paradoxically both on the left and the right. Within the gay community, some of the left figures gay marriage as kind of complicity, that it is trying to make the lesbian and gay community, which was founded in part on a critique of heterosexist culture, conform to normative social strictures. And with that, a kind of, well, nostalgia for outsiderness that many people feel will cause the lesbian and gay community to blunt its critical edge.
Go ahead.
And then I think there are others who feel that from, you know, on the far right, even within the community, that indeed lesbian and gay marriages should not be allowed because they violate generally religious principles. And there are rather remarkably individuals, many of whom are part of some of the churches that have been most powerfully in opposition to lesbian and gay marriage, who feel this way.
Let's get some listeners involved. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, TOTN at NPR.org. And we'll begin with Douglas. And Douglas, can you hear me? Let's see if I'm having a little trouble with the telephone system right now. Go away for 2 weeks of vacation, the phones don't work. What am I going to tell you, Jonathan Katz? In the meantime, however, we do know that joining us from Long Island, New York, is Ruthann Robson, a professor of the City of New York School of Law, a contributing writer to Out magazine, who is opposed to gay marriage, and it's good of you to join us today.
Thank you.
Why do you think gays and lesbians should not be have the right to marriage?
Well, I wouldn't really articulate it that they shouldn't have the right to marry. What I'm really been interested in doing is separating the social and the legal. And one of the things that I find the most interesting, even in the recent Massachusetts Supreme Court opinion, is that marriage is articulated as between three entities, two individuals, and right now we're arguing over the gender of those individuals, and there are other arguments about their familial relationships, why only two, and all of those sorts of things. But everyone agrees that the third entity is the state, and I think that that's really where I have some problems, because the state is really the entity that controls the terms of the contract, both the benefits, and we hear a lot about the benefits, but also the burdens. And sort of interesting to me is that the state can change the terms of that contract at any time.
The state, obviously, is the institution whose, approval in some respect that the couples are seeking.
I think so, and I think that that's in some ways we think about it, but we don't then necessarily understand that it's not just approval, but that the state becomes a party to the marriage itself and to the relationship.
How would marriage change gay relationships?
Well, I think one of the interesting things would be gay divorce, and I think that that's going to be quite interesting to see if there's gay marriage, especially in states where there are grounds for divorce, as in New York and in some other states. What exactly would cruelty mean? What exactly would adultery mean? All kinds of questions like that.
And would, I guess, a question that we were talking earlier with Jonathan Katz about, would gay marriage change gay identity?
Possibly. I think it will change legal identity, whether it changes the social identity or not. I'm also interested in the, you know, the changing of identity in terms of the way in which marriage becomes compulsory. And as Jonathan was saying, the tendency to then separate sort of the good gays and the bad gays. Because if marriage has all of these social approval, then that must mean that there would be disapproval for people who do not engage in marriage, whether they're coupled or whether they're not coupled.
Well, the same would apply to straight couples as well. They certainly have a choice of whether getting married or not. And, of course, some years ago, I guess it was some degree of social stigma attached to those who chose to live together and not get married. But these people have a choice. Why shouldn't gay people have the same choice?
I think that they should, and I'm not necessarily arguing that. And one of the things that becomes very, very difficult is that when someone says you can't have something, just as I think Jonathan was arguing before, it does become a question of equality, and it does become that sort of question. But I think that there are larger questions of equality as well, so that, for example, in the immigration context, as Jonathan Katz was talking about, mm-hmm. or in the benefits context, in terms of Social Security benefits, health benefits, things like that, that we really start to think of, okay, equality for these two couples, or comparing a same-sex couple and an opposite-sex couple, and not think about larger issues of equality. For example, why is health insurance dependent upon who I'm with or who I'm not, or if I have a partner or if I don't? And so larger questions like universal health care, things like that.
Okay. May not be right around the corner either. Jonathan Katz, you were talking earlier, though, and give us some idea. You were saying that perhaps the debate over this issue and approving gay marriage would reinvigorate an institution. And how so in terms of what Ruthann was saying?
Well, I mean, it's already happening. It's happening in San Francisco, which gave, 30, 40 marriage licenses a day, and now there's a desire on the part of thousands of individuals for those licenses. There's been a dammed up body of individuals desperate for marriage. At the most banal level, it will reinvigorate, but I think it will do something much more long-standing and significant, and that is that lesbian and gay marriage has the potential to proffer a kind of lived critique of the institution of marriage. For example, let's just take one pillar of marriage, at least in its oldest form, and that is the notion of sex roles. There has been widespread social agreement. Of course, it's been challenged, but it's still overwhelmingly the case that there are, in the scariest of scare quotes, natural sex roles in marriage. The fact of same-sex marriage will inevitably challenge that notion, and that's a very, very good thing. Also, I think we're going to find that marriage may, the prospect of same-sex marriage may sort of create a broader mixing of racial, ethnic, and class identities than heterosexual marriage has thus far seen. In some sense, we do this exclusively for love. We don't do it for transference of property, for social place. We don't do it to win approval. In fact, the corollary is always the case, or often the case. Mm-hmm. So the reason we marry is because of deep emotional commitment. And I think redefining marriage in terms of, love may actually be the most positive thing that comes out of this.
We'll continue our conversation about what the gay community thinks about same-sex marriage, and hopefully we'll get the phones fixed and be able to take some of your calls when we get back. The number still works. It's just my device here in the studio, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. We'll also be joined by a gay Republican about where he stands on gay marriage and how he thinks the issue could possibly play out in this year's elections. You can also send us email. That does work, totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing opinions for and against gay marriage within the gay community. Our guests are Jonathan Katz, Executive Coordinator of the Larry Kramer Initiative for Lesbian and Gay Studies at Yale University, and Ruth Ann Robson, Professor of the City of New York School of Law and a contributing writer to Out Magazine, who's with us from New York. Our phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And Ruth Ann, you were saying earlier that marriage is a contract between two individuals, the third party being the state. Yet traditionally, there's another two groups of very interested individuals, and that the families of the two people who are getting married. And in some respects, people say, gee, you know, I may want to get married, but I'm not sure my family is going to accept this. Ruth Ann, you there?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think it really, we're talking about, or what I've been trying to talk about, is really separating the social and the legal, and people's families and the social and ceremonies and all of those kinds of things take place in one realm, and then kind of overlapping with that realm is the legal realm. And I don't think that people are thinking clearly enough about what the legal consequences are.
And I think we managed to jury-rig a telephone system, and joining us now is Brett, who's on the line with us from Washington, D.C. Good of you to join us today.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
I wanted to take some issue with Jonathan Katz's view that the advent of gay or lesbian marriage would somehow revolutionize gay or lesbian identity. I think to some extent that viewpoint tends to gloss over the fact that there are already a vast proportion of gays and lesbians who lead very average lives, who want nothing more than to lead very average lives with someone in a committed relationship and have that relationship recognized for legal, social benefits, immigration and other purposes. And so I wonder whether it will revolutionize gay and lesbian life so much as actually just bring into view a great deal of life that is already there. And secondly, I wanted to agree very strongly with the separation of the legal and social that's being proposed by your other guest. I think to some extent this debate would be much more muted were it posited in terms of civil unions for everyone and leaving marriage itself for religious institutions to recognize. I'm from Canada. I certainly hope that's the way the debate is going to go toward resolving the legal issue that has been raised there. I hope that will be the case in the United States as well, because I think an argument will never be won over marriage, but an argument over civil unions for all, for gays, straights, everyone involved would be a reasonable way to resolve this. And I think, to go back to my earlier point, the rush of people in San Francisco, the rush of people heading north to get marriage licenses, to me in many ways speaks to the fact that there are a lot of people leading already committed, very domestic lives with their partners who will not see their lives radically changed by the advent of gay marriage, except to have a lot of legal and social impediments removed.
Jonathan Katz?
Well, I absolutely agree. I just wanted to clarify. I wasn't suggesting that it would revolutionize lesbian and gay identity. I was trying to suggest that it would revolutionize the institution of marriage itself. The advent of lesbian and gay marriage might, in fact, serve to not only reinvigorate but to redefine an institution that is increasingly viewed by many in our culture as having outlived its usefulness.
By many, but the state and the legal regime is saying, no, that's not true, or maybe they believe it's true and they need a rhetoric to say that it's not true. For example, the all the welfare regulations propose marriage as a way out of poverty. There is a nationwide policy in favor of marriage. Marriage is the foundation of society, of Western civilization, in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases. This is the legal rhetoric. My favorite case being, believe it or not, the dismissal of some police officers for having sexual relationships with prostitutes. And it's never really talked about whether they're married or not, but somehow the sanctity of marriage is part of their claim in terms of, or the state's claim, why they should and could be terminated. So in the States, and I think this is a little bit different from what happens in Canada, there is a legal rhetoric about the sanctity, and they use sanctity a lot, of marriage as the foundation of America. And without marriage, America will just fold.
Brett, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Ruth Ann Robson, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Ruth Ann Robson is a CUNY law professor and a contributing writer to Out Magazine. And with us now here in the studio is Mark Mead, political director of the Log Cabin Republicans. President Bush, of course, has said that marriage should be between a man and a woman. That has upset your group, as I understand it.
Actually, we're not surprised. The president said that in 2000 in the campaign, and John Kerry and John Edwards and Howard Dean all believe the same thing, and we don't expect the president to get to the left of them mm-hmm. on this issue. The thing that upsets us as conservative Republicans is that we don't believe you amend the Constitution to score political points, and we're urging the president not to support the Federal Marriage Amendment just for that reason.
And that is a distinction between the Republican, presumed Republican candidate and the presumed Democratic candidates.
That is the difference, although Senator Kerry has said that he might support discriminating against his own constituents who put him in the Senate, that being the case with the Massachusetts amendment that might come down next month or the month after.
Well, do the Log Cabin Republicans, argue for gay marriage, civil union, what?
For the longest time, we wanted a dialogue, whether it was civil marriage or civil unions, encouraging a healthy dialogue. We now believe that we don't see a way to get to the same equal rights without a civil marriage license. But once again, we're open to a dialogue. Our concern, and we know what a lot of conservative Republicans are against. We'd like to know what they're for. There are a million children who are being raised in same-sex households in this country, and they are not afforded the same benefits as children who are raised in a conventional family. Mm-hmm. And in 2004, families come in all shapes and sizes, and every family, we believe, needs protection. And I go back to the mantra that the Republican Party has stressed for years, and that is for family values. And if you're for family values, we believe you've got to value all families.
What about the, did you come down the same way on the Massachusetts state constitution, which we heard some couple of days of very emotional debate there?
Well, it's interesting, with the overwhelming amount of Democrats in the legislature in Massachusetts, if this comes down, it will definitely be a bipartisan bashing. The Massachusetts constitution was, my understanding, was written by John Adams and is a masterpiece of liberty, and we think that should be as protected as the federal constitution.
Yet you call it a bipartisan bashing. Some say that gays are a natural part of the Democratic Party constituency. Do you worry that making this a political issue in this election year would push a lot of Republican gays into the Democratic camp?
I'm not sure they'd go into the Democrat camp because I don't think they're going to sacrifice all their values. Most conservative gay Republicans are for lower taxes and a strong national defense, and they want government out of their lives, which is why this amendment is so onerous. We think this is the antithesis of what conservative Republicans support. A million gay and lesbians voted for George Bush in 2000. And I know that our organization spent hundreds of thousands of dollars advertising just in Florida. So in a 50-50 nation where the election will clearly be decided in the middle, we don't think this adds to the Republican coalition.
Thanks very much.
Sure thing.
Appreciate your time today. Mark Mead, political director of the Log Cabin Republicans, who was with us here in Studio 3A. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Rick joins us now from San Antonio.
Howdy.
Hi.
I'm a gay male. Spent 10 years in the Marine Corps and have had experience dealing with the government and being gay, and I reflect some of your earlier callers' sentiments about I don't think marriage belongs in government. I think it should be a religious device, and marriage has adjusted to prenuptial agreements, which are legal contracts. I think the government should recognize unions, and I really don't have any desire to be married in the eyes of the church. That's just how I feel about it.
Yet there is, you can say it's a semantic difference, Rick, but there's, you know, thousands of years of precedent on the word marriage.
Right. And I think that's fine, but prenuptial agreement wasn't a word that we had in our vocabulary a few years ago either.
Well, I don't think trial lawyer appears anywhere in the Bible for that matter either, but nevertheless, these institutions do develop and change. Marriage is something that goes back a very long way and has always been, at least in this country, an institution recognized by the state as well as by churches.
Right. I just don't think the government needs to be legislating or making constitutional amendments about something I don't believe belongs in government.
Jonathan Katz, where do you come down on that?
Well, in a perfect world, I completely agree. But in the world we live in, much rides on the word marriage. Much of real lived import in individual lives. And as a consequence, while I would echo the sentiments of a lot of people who would like to see civil union universalized in the United States, and that marriage reserved for religious commitment ceremonies. Nonetheless, that's not the way it's working. And as long as marriage is the prize, is the means of equality, then I'm advocating we go for it. And while I accept Ruth Ann's perspective that that the state's intrusion into our interpersonal relationships can be onerous, I'm also perhaps Pollyannish enough to believe that we may, in fact, help move the state perspective on marriage by virtue of our inclusion towards a much broader, much more capacious view. I'm thinking even of the fact of monogamy, which is both one of the pillars of heterosexual marriage and perhaps its key source of trauma. Could it be that the inclusion of lesbian and gay same-sex marriage may, in fact, sort of decenter the notion of monogamy and allow the prospect that marriage need not be an exclusive sexual relationship among people? I think it's possible.
Well, that Rick, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And let's now go to another caller in San Antonio. This is Lulu who's on the line.
Hi, actually, I'm in San Diego. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It was one of those. We're still having problems with our phones, so we're having to go through a jury rig system. I apologize.
I understand. Not a problem. I'm in a unique position as a bisexual single parent. The choice of the gender of my partner determines what legal rights my partner has. If I choose to have a life partner who is female, then that person does not have the rights of a step-parent unless my children's biological father gives up his legal rights. And that's not fair to my children or to their biological father. However, if I choose a male partner, boom, 10 minutes at the county office and we're done. And it's that catch-22 that the gender of my partner determines what rights we as a family will have.
And
we file our taxes, you know, everything.
And Jonathan Katz, that's a point you've made earlier.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm not naive enough to believe that the Equal Protection Clause will automatically apply to us, but it should.
I think, Lulu, you've got some problems with your somebody else is demanding attention. Yes. Thanks very much for the Lulu, by the way, you say you're bisexual. I don't know whether your current life partner is male or female, but if it was female, did you think about going to San Francisco this weekend to getting married?
You know, I made a running joke. It's a bad weekend to be single and gay. I didn't have the option of hopping on a plane and going up to San Francisco, but boy, if I had a sweetheart, I definitely would have been considering it.
Yep, and it was Valentine's Day to boot.
I know. It was just fabulous.
thanks very much for the call and for putting up with our phones.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you so much.
We're talking about the issue of gay marriage, opinions from within the gay community. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Jonathan Katz, you've mentioned the question of whether the issue of monogamy. We go back to a definition of marriage, and again, this goes back to biblical and long-standing historical traditions. It is a means of property transfer amongst families, as well as an institution that has evolved to be between two individuals and an expression of love.
Absolutely, and we need to understand that marriage as an institution is not impervious to historical change. I mean, in fact, what gets us to the point we're at today is a long-standing debate over what constitutes marriage. I mean, it began as the most simple transfer of property, and women were property, chattel. And it's in keeping with social change, evolved so that now there are multiple investments in the institution. And I think we need to bear in mind that the marriage that we know today will not be the marriage that's operative 20 years from now. The word marriage has proven elastic. It's been capable of incorporating shifts, sometimes slowly, sometimes with great opposition, but it's happened. And I think the word marriage will stretch to incorporate same-sex relationships. And I think it will furthermore stretch to incorporate some non-normative same-sex practices, like, for example, shifts in ritual and liturgy, shifts in the relationship of sex roles, monogamy, etc.
Here's an email we got from a man in Sandy Creek, New York, who asked that his name not be used. As a gay man, I'm not sure I feel that marriage is an appropriate model for the homosexual community. That being said, I support efforts to gain marriage rights for the gay and lesbian community, as it's beginning to appear that that's the only way we're going to get equal recognition of homosexual relationships in our society. Until we have the right to marry and to accrue all the benefits thereof, we will be second-class citizens. That's an opinion that is heard, but you hear a lot of ambivalence. You know, we shouldn't have to need it, but yet we do, and as long as we do, we better have it.
I think that's absolutely true. I would never, 5 years ago, have defined myself as an advocate of marriage. In fact, the very institution smacked of precisely that which I lived my life in opposition to. But because it has cohered as perhaps the litmus test of civil rights now, because it carries real social benefits, and because I think it perhaps furthers the uncoupling of the state and the church in this country, which I thought was promised in our Constitution, then I'm all for it.
Let's get a quick call from Billy, who's on the line with us. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that my parents have been together for 18 years. They had a commitment ceremony about 15 years ago, and they want to get married. I have a 16-year-old sister. I'm 12. But.
And your parents are gay?
Yes, my parents are lesbian, and I find it not fair that they can't get married when some opposite-sex couples who have the opportunity to get married don't take that opportunity, and whereas gay and lesbian couples have the exact opposite feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't find that fair, and I just think that that the government should let people get married to who they love. I mean, if you love someone, that's the base of marriage, you know?
Billy, you get the last word, and it's not a bad one. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Jonathan Katz, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jonathan Katz directs lesbian and gay studies at Yale University, and he joined us from their studios in New Haven, Connecticut.